Hello, and welcome to Stick Together, Australia's only national radio show dedicated to workplace and social justice issues. Stick Together is produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne and broadcast nationally via the Community Radio Network. My name's Annie McLaughlin. This is the first of a two-part special looking at the effects of the massive fire in the disused part of the Hazelwood open-cut coal mine that sits close by the Victorian township of Morwell. Throughout February and March of this year, for 45 days, the township of Morwell, 149 kilometres east of Melbourne, was plagued by a thick, smothering blanket of coal smoke spewing from a fire that is still smouldering in the depths of a vast, open-cut coal mine separated from the township of 13,000 people by a six-lane highway. 3CR was approached by members of the Morwell community to come down and report on what was happening because they felt that the mainstream media, apart from the ABC, were overlooking their plight. Stick Together went down to Morwell on the 16th day of the fire. Our first report concentrates on the effects of the fire on the people of Morwell and the government response.
The community has lost confidence with respect to a couple of our critical agencies, and that is around air monitoring and health, and it's very hard to get that back.
Put preservation of the mine assets ahead of people. That's coming across loud and clear.
It took us the first week to get the story out of the valley, and now it's taken another week to turn it into a government accountability story rather than simply a disaster movie.
Morwell sits on a vast reserve of lignite, or brown coal. The town of around 13,000 is well known for its part in Victoria's coal mining and fossil fuel power generation industry. Morwell sits adjacent to the Hazelwood open-cut mine, established by State Electricity Commission in 1964 to 1971, to feed a brown coal fuel-based load power station, which now provides 25% of Victoria's electricity supply. It was privatised in 1996, operating under International Power, which is part of the French company GDF Sewer Group. Coming from behind the ownership curtain, GDF Sewer is the public face of Hazelwood Power Station today. 90% of Hazelwood Open Cut has been decommissioned for 30 years and lies unrehabilitated metres from Morwell. The fire snaking around Morwell in late January leapt the highway into the disused part of Hazelwood Open Cut, sending noxious smoke across Morwell and surrounding towns.
So we're walking over to the back of Wallace Street, which has got the highway backing it, and then there's the open cut where the fire is, and that would be 30 metres.
The mine, the open cut is just behind that line of pine trees, and she just drops down, and it's sheer vertical.
So this is a huge expanse, this open cut. How big is it?
Well, there's been something like 1 billion tonnes of coal have been taken out of that pit.
And we're watching a helicopter going over with what looks like a water drop that it's going to drop.
Yeah, water bucket underneath where it just dumps it on the upper levels where the fire, the people down below in the pit cannot reach.
So how far down does it go, do you reckon?
150 feet or something like that, I would think. It's quite deep.
And the firefighters can only do 2 hours at a time.
Yeah, and they can only reach up so far from the floor of the pit.
So what we're actually seeing, we're looking over the highway and there's a huge hole in the ground, huge, absolutely huge, coming away from Hazelwood Power Station. Smoke coming out of it. And I guess if it's sort of reminiscent of the inferno of hell, really.
It's like a fog that lifts up and just flows all over the countryside.
After 16 smoke-filled days, Morwell residents were bewildered and angry, full of admiration for the firefighters who were dealing with a fire that the United Firefighters Union has called unique in nature, without global precedent. Morwell residents were underwhelmed by government's response.
There was no information really apart from stay inside. If you've got breathing problems, go see a doctor. Day 16, they're starting to distribute face masks. The day of the fire, the next day, the following Friday, they were really high pollution days. That's when you got the readings of 1800. And there were a lot of disturbed people and questions about what is actually in this smoke. And why are you saying that the smoke from the mine, which is raw coal, incompletely combusted coal, billowing into the atmosphere, covering Morwell, why are you saying that that's not too bad when you compare it to the monitoring which is supposed to happen to well-burnt coal, which is filtered and coming out of the power stacks? Why aren't you monitoring this raw stuff, whereas you think it's necessary to monitor the routine pollution which the power stations produce? There were no answers on that.
Have a look at the top of my car. It's covered in what looks like yellow dust. It looks like I've been driving on the Nullarbor. The car was washed on Sunday because it was just as dirty. 2 days and it's covered in fly ash.
One of my daughters has been in hospital due to it. One of my sons has bad asthma, so he's suffering. I have a rash all over my head. My doctor's told me that it's from something that's falling, you know, from the sky, because it's never happened to me before. I'm unwell. I'm getting migraines. My daughter's getting migraines. Someone's got to do something.
Have you any confidence in your local council or the state government?
No, nothing.
They've given you a mask?
Because I went and asked for one. No one's come and give me one. My husband was mowing the lawns the other day and CFA drove past and stopped and said, get a mask on or get inside. What's that telling us? My son's been relocated. His school's in Mowi now. I mean, that's important in itself, isn't it? Isn't that a concern?
Well, they were saying that the place should be evacuated.
Most definitely. Get us out of here. People that can't afford it, help us. You know, there are a lot of people like myself haven't got family that can, you know, go and stay somewhere. We need to have assistance so we can at least get out of here and maybe even go and stay in caravans or something for a few weeks until they work it out.
So you've got a couple of kids, small kids?
Yeah, a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old.
And you're a bit worried about all this?
Oh yeah, I was in hospital on Thursday because of the migraines, and the hospital wanted to put me to sleep to see if they would help with the migraines, and I refused. Why should I have to go to sleep just to get rid of a migraine that's just going to be constantly here because of the smoke? That's not fair on us. I've got a 2-year-old that's got asthma and she's suffering from it. And there's heaps of other people. Like, it's not just our families, it's the whole town and their families. Like, what about the elderly? What about, you know, little babies, newborn babies? What's the government and pregnant women, what are they doing for them? No one's doing anything for them. We're all stuck here and we just have to breathe it in. And what, we're going to die in 20 years from cancer? Like, what are they going to do for us?
So you don't have any confidence in the EPA saying that it's not as bad as it could be?
Well, they're not. They smoke. They're breathing it in. We're the ones sick. We're the ones in hospital. Like, for the hospital to turn around and say they want me to go to sleep, what's that saying?
Yeah, I bring the Department of Education and the Department of Health, and it's just like a handball around here. It's just handball to everybody else. It's their fault, their fault, their fault. And you contact the EPA, what do? They tell you it's this and that, but how do we know if it's true or not? Is their technology up to date? Are they good equipment, all that? I have 3 children that have asthma and we're always keeping them home from school or not even taking them out. They're so bored sitting at home doing nothing, just playing PlayStation or games like that. Technology, they can't live on that for 2 weeks in a row. Got children saying that they're bored. What can we do? Can't walk outside, can't do nothing.
Were you brought up here?
I was brought up in the area and I've been around here for nearly 40 odd years. But this is the worst. I've had asthma myself. This morning I wake up coughing and nearly dry reaching because it's just built up on my lungs and chest. Been to the doctor yesterday, put me on more medication for my breathing. Said, yeah, I spoke to the EPA. I rang the Department of Education because our school's right in line with that smoke out there at Hazelwood North. But they're not going to do nothing about it, you know. They shut down 2 schools in Morwell, but a school that's in direct line of the smoke, oh, that's okay, they're all right, you know. They want to protect the children. What children are they going to protect? Nobody, if they're not going to get out there and do something about it. As soon as the government can jump on the train and help us out and do something about it, it'd be good instead of tucked away in their little offices down Melbourne.
When you say help out, are you talking about evacuating the place?
Oh, they've got to do something. You can't live in this smoke all the time, you know. It's just crazy. It's the ash. You're washing your car every day, or you're hosing the front porch off or whatever. So you're not bringing the coal dust inside. You've got to water it down to get rid of it, to stop it from coming inside and, you know, making the smell inside. I'm just so angry, you know, because we just can't get any help or anything like that. Yeah, as I said, I've rang all departments and you just get pushed a pillar and it's, you know, there's no help at all. What can you do?
The people of Morwell found their voice at an emotional public meeting held on Tuesday, 18th of February, run by the emergency services. Government information and medical support services hit the ground over 2 weeks after the start of the fire, reacting to this community anger. The government was relying on internet services to communicate with the community. This was clearly not enough. Local member Russell North from the National Party released an open letter to the community dated the 24th of February. Russell North.
I had relayed to the relevant agencies my personal opinion and that of community members in that there needed to be a better, more broader and concise information provided to community, particularly around air monitoring and health response. You have to concede that the fact is that wasn't forthcoming, and I've been quite frank in my comments since that time that some agencies need to lift their game. The health and well-being of this community is absolutely paramount, and that of those who are fighting this fire. The moment, as I see it, is that the community has lost confidence with respect to a couple of our critical agencies, and that is around air monitoring and health. And it's very hard to get that back.
What do you think is the major issue for Morwell's future?
Jobs, health most importantly.
Because you said you lived in Morwell all your life.
My life, born and bred here. I love Morwell. My family's here, I've got friends here, my children have got a school here. You know, I don't want to have to move away.
Why has it been so delayed, getting masks? It only happened yesterday.
I have no idea. I have no idea why. It's a disgrace. It's really scary. It's almost like we're in a movie. You know, when you hear about this happening to people, you don't expect it to happen.
Greens member of the Victorian Parliament, Greg Barber, had this to say about the government's response.
Well, the fire had been burning for a week and a half before the EPA rolled in there with their monitoring equipment, got it filmed for the cameras. Yesterday, I think they started handing out face masks. But from the beginning, they've known that the smoke and what's in it is unhealthy, that people shouldn't be exposed for that for a day or two, much less weeks and weeks, and the immediate short-term effects of particulate smoke, as it's called, is well established scientifically. And the government should have already made arrangements to get the vulnerable people out. They've been one step behind the action all the way, and their responses have just been inadequate and too little.
A lot of the activity coming from government was about calming people down rather than taking into account that there was actually a real problem.
Yeah, I mean, they've been... But then they started sending very mixed messages almost immediately after, didn't they? Like, they're bussing children out of the valley to go to school, but then they're bussing them back in again at night time, delivering them back to their parents. I mean, either it's safe or it isn't. I heard the chief health officer on radio yesterday now. The question was put to her, would you be there with your children? She said, no, I'd get out. Well, everyone knows there's thousands of people down there who don't even have the resources to get out. It took us the first week to get the story out of the valley, and now it's taken another week to turn it into a government accountability story rather than simply a, you know, disaster movie.
Personally, I think Mr. Napthine is sitting in a corner with his hands over his head, rocking backwards and forwards, going, this is too hard, tell the people of Morwell to go away. That's my opinion of him at the moment. I do believe an election's coming up and he certainly won't be getting my vote. Where is he? Why isn't he here? Why hasn't he come down and said to the people of Morwell, hey guys, the rest of Victoria cares about you? I mean, the Channel 7 News and Channel 9 News was all about Geelong's football oval got wet. Boo-hoo, it got wet. Maybe we can't play football. And here we are, running our business into the ground. I'm having to kick in business interruption insurance. I'm possibly going to close my doors and just go home, let the insurance pay for everything, and then maybe I'll have a business to start back up again when it's all over, but maybe I won't and I'll just lose out. And that's five jobs gone in Morwell. Goodbye. Now, at the end of the day, you know, you need to do something that's going to keep Morwell functioning, or we're going to be a ghost town like Rollholler, you know. And at the end of the day, if you don't care about the people of Morwell, if we don't care and the government doesn't care, well, put a bullet in our heads, you know. In the long run, it might be less painful. I don't know.
You're from the Gippsland Multicultural Services. Yeah, and so you've been given beta masks by the health department?
I requested them yesterday when we had a teleconference and discussed all our concerns, and the department were wanting to check on how we were operating all our services for the aged.
And so have you been having troubles? Has your older people been having trouble?
Of course, they're very concerned. I mean, I think the conflicting and lack of information is really confusing for everybody. Department of Health were saying check on the EPA websites. That's not something easy for elderly people who don't necessarily have access online to do. Plus the information's been quite conflicting as well. I think there's a lot of anger about GDF sewers and what could have been done and hasn't been done. But especially people from the south side, it's been really hard keeping houses clean, keeping the ash out of people's lungs. It's been really hard for people.
Have you, some of your older people actually been hospitalised or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of, but just being confined to their houses has been really difficult. And today we're picking them all up. They'll all be in here shortly for a planned activity group.
Because it's a bit clearer today, isn't it?
Yeah, and we just have to wait for emails at 5 o'clock each night to decide what services we will or won't provide.
And who gives you the email?
Department of Health sends them around. That's only since yesterday. I think the delayed response has been really hard too. It's been things are happening now with the respite centre. We've just found out yesterday that our elderly clients can get free taxi vouchers to go there. But it's difficult. They can't move out. Lots of people have moved out till it's over, but none of our people are wealthy enough to be able to do that. And the newly arrived, the Sudanese and many of other more recent communities, it's pretty awful. There's just not much information in other languages around. Not much of a communication strategy as yet. So
you said that things began to happen yesterday. Why? What prompted that, do you think?
That was a teleconference that was held with managers of home and community care services. So,
why did it take so long?
I'm not sure. I can't answer that. A little bit in the Age and ABC, but
so Melbourne doesn't know?
Doesn't seem to. People say, I haven't heard about this. There doesn't seem to. To me, it's a major disaster. And it's like, hush, hush.
Is it a natural disaster, though?
No. Because from my understanding, the common could have been covered over with clay and should have been and wasn't. Water filtration systems were sold for scrap metal. And here we are wearing the consequences. And ask me again in 10 and 15 and 20 years' time what the impacts are, because we can't tell you now what the long-term impact's going to be.
Well, is the health department going to do any long-term study of the health impact?
No idea. I think the platitudes of it's all fine and it's all safe, but so is asbestos. You know,
We've been walking along the streets of Morwell, and it's, as the people I'm with say, oh, it's not so bad today, but in fact it's covered in smoke, and you can smell it and you can taste it. There are people wandering around with masks on their face, but there's quite considerable people who aren't. We were told that you were one of the first people to give out dust masks. What led you to do that?
Oh, we were concerned, and we actually were provided them by St Vincent de Paul. They were the first people to really get active with it, and we went through ours so rapidly, they gave us a few to go on with. We went out and bought some more. And then St Vincent de Paul have also bought further stock up until when supplies became available this week. It's only really this since Monday that we've had stock coming from La Trobe City and a few other sources to distribute.
Have more of your customers been coming in, you know, with respiratory complaints?
Oh, definitely, yes. Yes, I just had someone then. So their asthma's getting worse, so I'm advising them. I just have a quick chat to them when they ask for a puffer. If it sounds like it's getting worse, I refer them to their medical clinics. Yeah, it's quite bad, and it's a lot of call for eye drops and throat lozenges as well. So it's quite bad, as you can see just now.
Are you concerned about long-term health consequences?
Yeah, the problem will be all the buildings and houses are going to have residual dust. The dust is very fine. Like, we've got special P2 or very fine particle size dust masks. Now, this dust gets in everywhere, and it'll be in people's carpets, it's in the cars, in the car filters. So there's going to be need to be a big kind of clean-up everywhere, not just outside, but inside, because the dust will be everywhere in people's houses. So that's going to be an ongoing issue. And once the fire is out and everything settles down, there'll be kind of like a long-term clean-up will be needed.
Will they fall back on individuals doing it, or do you think it should be a community response?
That's a big call, and I wouldn't like to say that, but it's certainly something that's has happened because of the fires. So how that gets addressed, I'd leave that up to the powers that be. But it's something that I think we'll need to look at long term, because dust is an irritant and it's a trigger for asthma. And if we've got residual dust around, it's going to just keep irritating people's airways, and it does need to be addressed. And probably the mine site needs to be rehabilitated so that there's much less dust. We're dealing with asbestos issues in the area, and that occurred decades ago, and it's just reaching a peak in our area now. We have a lot of retired SEC workers, and a lot of my customers that have been exposed to it have passed away from asbestosis. So I don't know what the long-term effects of this will be, but it definitely needs to be studied. We really need to know what's in the air so that we can address it if need be sometime later.
You run a cafe in Morwell. This smoke and the effects of the fire are having an effect on your business?
They certainly are. Firstly, when we don't have the volume of people coming through, because the schools, or there's two schools that we know of, have closed down from near the CBD, and we don't have the staff coming in for lunch, and there's a childcare place, and so it's definitely reduced in numbers. But the ash is having an effect inside our shop. It's just all over the floors where we come in each morning. It's over every single thing that we possess inside the shop. It's actually quite dreadful. So you've just got so much more cleaning as well, and so over the plates, and so we've got to clean all them each day before we even start, so it's causing a lot more work. It's quite difficult. But
are you worried about the health consequences?
Yes, very much so. I think it's only up until today that we've actually had some information provided by La Trobe City. They came in and gave us some pamphlets and about the health risk, because I mean, it's actually, like, it's been over 2 weeks and there's just ash in the air, and you can't even open your eyes, like it gets into your eyes, and you touch anything, it's all, your hands are black, and so it's a bit of a problem. And we're sort of concerned that there might be more health risks than we've let on to believe.
And were you surprised that it took such a long time for the council to get in contact with you?
Yes and no. I feel they're probably doing the best they can, but, I think on the second week we sort of started to put laissez-faire about it, and then we started to get quite concerned, thinking, this is really bad. but now we seem to... We've got the information, which is good, and, you know, like, hopefully things improve from now on. And they showed me a thermal image, and it has reduced in size considerably since the first day, and so that's very positive as well.
Do you think that the lack of response in terms of soothing the community has led to community action?
Yes, because they tell us to check the EPA sites for the locals, you know, but checking an EPA site, I mean, that just gives us figures, but we don't really know what the actual long-term health risks are. And, you know, like that, it makes it quite difficult for people because they start to then get really quite concerned.
Since the privatisation of the Hazelwood plant in the 1990s, thousands of jobs were lost and promises of economic renewal not honoured. People in Morwell say they are the forgotten people of Victoria. The community talks of a disaster, calling for help for evacuation. Government outlets talk of an incident and are belatedly giving up to $1,200 for relocation. There is talk of a possible class action. Greg Barber, Greens member of the Victorian Parliament, had this to say.
You know, the first job of a government is actually to secure the safety and well-being of its own citizens. As we speak, you know, the Premier's on a barge in the Yarra River drinking cocktails and actually launching Food and Wine Festival Week. It's just a bizarre contrast. To be down there in Morwell, as it was last weekend, there is fly ash just falling out of the sky. It's just raining down black ash. So it sort of feels like, you know, the end of the world in a way. And the sheer number of dollars that have gone into fighting the fire in the mine, you know, would be vastly more than they've been able to offer to a vulnerable group of citizens. We'll get back to the issue of mine regulation.
That's it for Stick Together this week. Next week we look at the outcomes of the Morwell fire, including the inquiry set to begin on April the 10th, broader issues regarding government regulation around what some call the fire that should never have happened, and the government's insistence on a coal future for Victoria. I'm Annie McLaughlin. Catch you next time.